Well, that was unfortunate. If Sunday's Bucks-Celtics game was the norm, would you consider last night's game Bizarro Bucks? The Bizarro game? Remember Bizarro Land or Bizarro World in Seinfeld where, like, there was a whole nother, like, opposite side of Seinfeld? Remember that storyline, guys?
Yeah.
Kind of felt like that last night with
Jen
the Bucks.
Jen asking us if we remember a storyline from Seinfeld.
Kind of felt like that last night from the Bucks. It's like the Celtics were doing all of the things that the Bucks did in the first game, and the Bucks were doing all of the things that the Celtics did in the first game. Now, again, to simplify, the Celtics were doing all the good things last night. The Bucks were doing all the not-so-good things last night.
So the problem here is, though, Jen, so the Bucks have played 7 postseason games. We've seen the Bizarro Bucks, as you want to call them, 3 of those 7 games. Now, they managed to win one of those, but they lost the other 2. And that's kind of concerning because it is about, you know, it's, yeah, they've played very well 4 times. They've played pretty terribly 3 times. That's not a good split.
It's what I said. They were happy they won game 1. They're like, all right, we're going to play game 2.
See, I didn't get that vibe from them, too. I didn't get the vibe.
They came out flat.
I didn't think they came out lethargic. I thought the Celtics came out inspired. It was almost as though they were Michael Jordan during his career, and I took that personally. Like, every single person was saying, ho, Bucks, best team, Giannis, best player. People were just like really giving the Bucks all of the flowers, all of the love. And I think the Celtics took that personally. And I think they came out inspired, and I think they surprised the Bucks a little bit.
You know what's going to happen in game 3, Jen? Exactly what happened in game 2. But the roles will be reversed.
Oh, so bizarro.
Yes. The Bucks will come out fired up, home. The Celtics will be like, all right, we got to have 1 of 2 in Milwaukee. This isn't the pressing one. Pressing one will be game 4, but we're going to come out and play game 3. I guarantee. You watch.
Can the Celtics shoot the ball as well as they did in game 2 last night for the duration of this series, Gabe?
Individuals, probably not. Like, Jaylen Brown's not going to have another 6-for-10. Williams isn't going to go 6-for-9 from 3.
Weird one.
Brown and Tatum combined for 59 points.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But those are their 2 guys. That's what they need. They need those guys to perform offensively because they are their 2 most talented players offensively, and they are certainly capable of that.
On a nightly basis, or do you think it's a flash in the pan every once in a while kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, Tatum averaged, what, 26? Brown averaged 23, 24? So it's not that far off. They average about 50 between the 2 of them. So just to get to 59 isn't that big of a stretch in a playoff series when you're playing 43 minutes,
but
when you're playing 38 minutes.
I texted you guys this early in the game, right? Because the Celtics, as we know, came out gangbusters. They were like on fire. Let's show everybody that all of those things that people were saying about us aren't true. We're not going to get swept out of the series like we swept the Nets. And even though the Bucks had to like claw and scratch and fight their way back into that one, I texted you guys saying, if I'm Boston right now, I'm a little shook because it didn't even seem like the Bucks broke a sweat to claw themselves back into that game by the end of the first quarter. Now, I will say it
by
did
the end
seem
of the, they were down 11.
But they had been down by so much more.
Like, 11's still big. Like, it's because it takes so much energy just to get to that point.
That's what I was just going to say.
And even more energy to get over the
that's
top.
That's what I was just going to say. And yet, in the second quarter and in the third quarter, it became very obvious that this was a very challenging task. That this was going to be very difficult. I will say, though, there were many times in the game, Chew, where I thought, here we go, here comes that Bucks run, and they'd close it to 16, they'd close it to 15, and then all of a sudden, turnover on the other end, they'd let somebody get loose for an open bucket on the Celtics end, and then it was like, and we're back to 18, and we're back to 25, and this thing is not going
to
happen.
But part of it was the Celtics were reverting back to what they were doing game 1, and then just, like you said, gave 1 pass, and then 3, and then they brought it back a little bit.
And hitting them. That was the big thing.
So, in the third quarter, they were missing, though, which is what allowed the Bucks
to
kind of
try to come
back. The
only thing that concerns me about the Bucks is help me out here. Who's
the only thing that concerns me about the Bucks?
I know. The point guard. Who's playing point?
Jrue Holiday.
He doesn't look special. Right?
What do you mean by that?
He just doesn't look special. He looks, okay, I'm going to get my 18, 19, 20 points. And with Middleton out, all right, we need a 28. We need a 32. Right?
That's
but I think times like it looks like he's not even into it. Am I missing something?
He's very deliberate offensively. Like, he is going to make sure he gets to his spot in order to try to take advantage of whatever mismatch he thinks he has. So Holiday kind of, there are times because he can be smooth offensively or doesn't look like he's moving all that quickly, but he is. But Drew Holiday, yeah, every once in a while he can pop off and get close to 30. But I think if you get about 20 out of him, where you have to get more is Grayson Allen had 5. Whereas previously he had 23, he had 25. Again, that's a lot to ask out of Grayson night in, night out, but he's got to get to double digits. Pat Connaughton did have 13 last night, so you like to see that. Bobby Portis had 13. You probably got to up that.
What about Brook Lopez? Only had two.
Yeah.
He was bad last night. After everything good that we said about Brook after game one, Brook
after
was,
everything that everybody said that
he,
was good about
he was
them.
Bad.
It's so true to your point about reading press clippings. I think that maybe he fell victim to that. Yeah, we said that Wes had 4. Now, Wes is not often an offensive heavy contributor. He's obviously out there for his defense, and he's fantastic at it, right? Like, guys, like, no question, this is still a very good defensive team. But like you said, one of the things I thought was fascinating was at the beginning of the game, what you thought was going to be the game plan against Giannis was to continue double teaming him, right? But Giannis had been such a good facilitator. He would draw in the double team, and that meant somebody was open. He'd find the open guy and boom, 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 knocking down those shots. Guess what they decided to do, Chew, right out of the gate? Don't double him.
Yeah.
One-on-one.
Well, Williams, Williams is a big guy, even though he's only 6'6". Giannis can't move him.
And didn't it seem like maybe they weren't moving the ball as efficiently as they needed to fight that, because now you don't have an open guy out there on the perimeter. Everybody's covered, Gabe.
Yeah, and now the Bucks will make the adjustment. Giannis kind of did in the third quarter, okay, you guys are going to go one-on-one. Well, we'll set some screens, get some switches, and then I can take advantage of that, get to the rim, get the fouls, get to the free throw line.
Kind of liking Giannis as the screener, to be honest with you. Kind of like it on the occasional play.
I mean, and that's... Honestly, that's where they miss Chris the most, because Chris Giannis pick and rolls are deadly. Like, they're just so damn good at it, and that's where you certainly miss Chris. And when the Celtics, this is where you miss Chris Middleton last night, because when the Celtics are hitting threes at the clip they were in the first half, and they're shooting over 50% in the first half, you're not able to get out and transition. You're not able to kind of push the tempo of the game because you're constantly having to inbound the ball. And Chris is the Bucks' best offensive player in the half court.
So let's be honest. How are you feeling now? Chewy had said that this is all going to come down to game 4. And he was convinced that they would lose today's game. I was more confident. I thought that they would win last night's game. Gabe, you were telling us in the production meeting this morning that you are not nervous about game 3.
Correct.
Because Nostra Chewis over here says that they're going to win game 3. And I found it fascinating that you go game by game with the nerves as opposed to nervous for the series outcome.
I prefer Chewy Domus, personally.
Chewy Domus?
Yeah.
Nostra Chewy?
Look, Jen, we're going to give you some... I'll give you some advice here. If the line is 6 or under, bet it heavy.
Oh, boy.
Bet it heavy.
Heavy bucks?
See if I can
heavy
find
bucks.
A...
Heavy bucks. Yeah.
See if there's a line out for Sunday's game already.
I would say it's...
Well, hop off the old work Wi-Fi.
Six? I mean, Gabe, remember a few years ago on Homer and you and Gabe? That's why I was asking you, I think. I said,
do you remember
the
that
Vikings,
Homer and you?
Gabe, do you remember this? Gabe, I said the Vikings will lose to the Packers by 22. And you two thought I was crazy, and Packers wound up beating them by 28.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's being a former. You just have a feeling on how patterns go and how emotions go, and it's just freaky deaky Dutch is what it is.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Wooden shoes Dutch? Or we're paying for our meals separately Dutch?
There is no line out yet for the Bucks.
Well, that's because the game is next year. The game is on Saturday. I've never heard of anything so crazy as this type of a layoff in a playoff series. But I digress. So tell me about this nervous for the game and not nervous for the series thing. Because I was assessing my nerves this morning just from a psychology standpoint. And I was saying, I'm not nervous because there's still too many games left in the series. Like, I'm not living and dying by each game. Certainly not each possession. But it sounds like you're doing a little more of a micro thing.
Oh, yeah. You take it game by game, and I have decided that I'm going to blindly follow Chewy because I should have listened yesterday because he was absolutely 100% right about yesterday's game and how it was going to go.
I'm sorry. This
Chewy
feels like...
was right?
Thank
Holy!
My bad.
Chewy
you're
was
alive.
Right!
This feels like a good life plan?
Yeah. I mean, he was absolutely... I mean, what... Why would I not follow him?
That's
why
I said
He's called this series since game one. He has told us everything that is going to happen. It has so far happened. So he tells me that the Bucks are going to win on game three. So I'm just going to kick back, enjoy that game, and then be super nervous for game four because that's what the series comes down to.
So, yeah. So to reiterate what I said game four, Bucks win. It's over in six. It's over in six. Game four, they lose. It goes seven.
And then who knows?
And I would still lean Bucks.
Why?
Because they're the better team. They're just the better team. I think even with Smart on the court, they're still the better team.
Yeah, but a game seven in Boston, seeing what Jaylen Brown did last night, knowing that if it comes down to one game, that could potentially happen again, that would make me nervous.
Yeah, but Bucks have been in this situation. They played game sevens. They're the world champs. They're the best team in the NBA. Now, that doesn't mean they always win, but they're the best team, right? And the only thing that scared me is you have that we won the championship last year. We're going to have a little letdown. I just don't see it with this team.